Welcome to Hidden Battles, Destigmatizing Mental Illness, a weekly podcast where passionate advocates of mental health converge to illuminate unseen struggles faced by millions. Join Jeremy, Terrell, and Lorraine as they delve into candid conversations about stigmas, cultural risk, values, intersectionality, and mental health. Hear from mental health professionals and those diagnosed with a mental illness. Together, they put on the table the things people think about but are afraid to talk about. Get ready to embark on an insightful journey.
Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey.
Welcome to another episode of Hidden Battles. Today we're going to rehash, we're going to try to close this up, but we need to talk about rehashing our mission and vision and values. Lorraine will go over that, and then again, I'm going to repeat this as much as I possibly can so that family members understand that they are the strongest form of government. They need to be sitting down at home talking about their own mission and vision and values, and then that's how you decide what kind of partnerships you're going to have in the world. Lorraine, would you please?
Sure. We started out with our mission, vision, and values. Our mission, we decided to, and here's our mission, to deconstruct identity and reimagine taking cultural risk. Do we want to elaborate on that really quick?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So to deconstruct identity, you know, I think in terms of deconstructing identity is like we all have an idea of who we think that we are. And there's a multitude of ways that we relate to the world. And we're not saying get rid of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. But like Aristotle said, let's entertain a thought that we wouldn't normally entertain. And so like how do we reach across the aisle? How do we see? Because I think some of the things we're going to talk about, like credit card interest rates. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I might be mad at white people, or I might be mad at black people, or I might be white at Hispanics or whatever. But when it comes down to it, we should be able to come together under a voting block and say, we're kind of tired of the interest rates.
Exactly.
And so we have to be able to say, while I might be angry about a particular part of history, this piece of current history or you know, current events dictates that if I partner with people, mm-hmm. then we can bring the interest rates down. So that's deconstructing identity. And then reimagine taking cultural risks. You know, I think with a lot of the cultural stuff that's been going on in terms of, you know, just our world over the last 4 to 8 years, I think we have to identify with cultures. I think we have to understand people from different cultural perspectives. But what if we stop defining culture based on religion, philosophy, color, gender, and we started imagining that our culture's actually more similar than dissimilar mm-hmm. in terms of legal issues, vocational issues, social issues, relational, financial, physical, you know, like there are plenty of white people that have poor health outcomes. Well, so do black people, some. Well, how do we unite as a group of people, reimagine how we identify with each other culturally beyond mm-hmm. those biomarkers? How do we do that?
It's tough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about there. And that's very important. That's what we should be thinking about. So our values, we came up with STFU, which means shut the fuck up. And freedom.
She don't cuss that often, just let it be known.
Guys, I don't even cuss, but doing this podcast, I don't know. There's a sense of...
She's liberated.
A sense of liberation here.
Yeah.
Okay, so freedom is the other. Diversity, conversations, and our last one we just added is honesty.
I don't think we talked about the vision, did we? Or did you mention that?
mention that yet.
Let's go back
to... No, we missed vision.
Let's go back to vision. A vision of people discerning truth, developing and rebuilding purpose. So, Jeremy, elaborate on that.
Well, truth discernment is literally as it's very individual.
Yes.
Like, what do we believe truth is? And truth is like honesty. Did I tell a lie or not? That's mm-hmm. not what we're talking about. We're talking about universal truths that most people can get behind from a philosophical basis. And I think that any rational mind that's logical and not based in emotion would basically say, well, there's just certain things that we can agree upon. Like, raise your hand if you want your children to have healthy food in public schools.
Right.
I think most people are going to raise their hand.
Exactly.
Should there be a cap on should bank fees be legal or illegal? Most right. people should say illegal.
Illegal.
Because if I don't have money, then why are you letting me go below my balance and then charging me a $35 plus fine for that particular thing? Those are all... if I don't have a particular credit score, my insurance rate's higher. Like, there's a lot of things that we can talk about in terms of discerning truth, just from a utilitarian perspective. Like, how do we move around the world as partners, regardless of our differences that bring us together? And while the main narrative, and you know, Trump just got elected, Republican sweep in all the offices. But your discernment of truth should never be based in something that another human being does. Your discernment and truth should be based on what's the next right thing based on what you believe in a higher power. And the atheists find whatever you got to find to be able to discern truth based on whatever philosophical belief system you have. But for most of the world, it's what's the next right thing based on our particular religion, regardless of what that religion is?
Well, what about those capitalists out there? And to a degree, a lot of people who are in business to make money. And we have a culture, in this country, where capitalism is king.
Well,
if without that, I mean, think about it. The stock market, businesses, corporations want to stay afloat, they need those investors. You make those investors happy. Okay, they're getting dividends.
Sure.
I'm sounding like devil's advocate here.
Sure.
If you can't afford to save enough money to avoid having to have bank fees because you decided to do an overdraft, okay, it's the overdraft is tantamount to... Well, those places they closed where people were getting payday loans, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an overdraft, you dip into that, then you've got to pay a fee for that.
Right.
And you've become dependent on that.
Well, because pause. If you have that fee and then you don't pay it, then you're banned from banking, period.
True.
All banks are notified that you had a flat check or you didn't pay this fee, so then they ban you from all banking, period.
Right.
So you're not able to have your bank account, you know. That's a truth let that be known. Okay, go ahead.
But we're talking, we're kind of getting off of what we were saying, but my point being is, there are bank fees because people, a capitalist would say, aren't managing their bank accounts properly.
Okay. Well, let's define what capitalism is, because we don't have capitalism in America.
What do we have? There's
micro capitalism between maybe you and I, but it's an oligarchical system. Basically, you have the quadrillionaires
exactly.
who are able to control agendas and control world events and wars and everything else. And I mean, just look at the post Trump media engine, regardless of what your belief system and whether or not you support Trump. It's a little ironic that 9/10 of the media out there are against Trump or against his picks. And I'm not saying right now that I agree or disagree with any of them. But what I'm saying is like they try to tell you they're fair. I don't know. I'm gonna go off on a whole other tangent, but in terms of discerning truth, that right. has to be a family conversation.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when those banks decide that they're not making enough money. So let's get this straight. I'm a bank owner, right? And I own 20 banks. And I say, well, I'm making $20 million per year. And I say, well, how can I make more? What you're talking about is squeezing blood out of a turnip. They're always doing something to make more money. So let's take any particular mutual fund. Let's take any particular business. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be food. It could be pharma. It could be whatever. They're not satisfied with $80 billion in returns. They want 85.
Right, because they understand. And
that's where they start to violate people.
Right. Their research shows that the behavior of a lot of people,
right.
allow their behavior dictates how much they can get away with.
Right.
If they know that a consumer likes to drink a lot of a particular product, even though it's unhealthy for them, mm-hmm. because the chemicals in it make them feel better, gets them through their day,
right.
then they're going to maybe increase the price, or right. they're going to reduce the size of the Frito bag and charge you more. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to continue. Right. I mean, right. like look at Carmex, just that little jar that you get, that white jar with the yellow lid.
Right.
Look at the bottom, how deep it goes inside. I'm seriously, because back in the day it wasn't like that.
Right. So it's pushed up some.
They always have to up. It's right. like, why can't you just be happy with $20 million
exactly.
per year
exactly.
forever?
Exactly.
No, it's a persistent push
right. Right.
of making more and more and right. more and more. But what these companies don't understand is there's going to be a flat line. There's going to come a point in time where people are done. And we're seeing it. I mean, you got protests against Kellogg and Fruit Loops in Canada and how they put their dyes in with real natural fruit. But in America, they don't do that. Like, I'm telling you, we're entering a golden age and ain't nobody going to stop it. But we talk about rebuilding purpose on this rebuilding purpose. What we need is people to be comfortable with having children. We need to be comfortable with people having these conversations at the dinner table intentionally and purposefully. What do you think rich people do? Do you think they just got rich lucky?
Oh, hell no.
Or do you think they actually sit down and treat their family like a business and be like, what's our mission and vision and values? And what's our next steps? What's our next move? Who are we voting for next? What's our next partnership? What's our next relationship? What's our next investment? And they're all sitting around a table and they're doing that. It's poor people that don't do that.
Right.
Exactly. And that is so important in family right now, is to have those mission, vision, and values at the dinner table.
Right.
Our next one, so we did talk about vision, is values. And so we started off with STFU. Terrell, you want to give the audience what that acronym is?
Oh, you want me to entertain the audience? Well, shut the fuck up. You know, when we had a discussion about this a few podcasts earlier, I thought it was pretty cool, because, and it's direct. It should be direct, because as Jeremy states, sometimes people just need to shut up. And when you add fuck, it should get their attention. Like, maybe I'm talking too much.
Right.
Maybe I haven't done my research. Maybe
right.
I haven't done my homework. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I know. Maybe I need to change the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm operating at work, and listen more to my wife or my, you know what I mean? A lot of people think they know everything, and they just
right.
go on and on and on and on. And the people listening are just sitting there going, I wish you would shut the fuck up and listen.
Well, and then if you don't mind if I add to that, what's interesting is that we're like, I'm just guessing here, because we're like the third largest country by land, by acre, mm-hmm. and then we're really high up there in population. Why is it that every news agency that is for or against something says the same shit? The same exact, it's like they send out an email and everybody just has these talking points that they just go off of, right? And what I would like to say to family members, if you're literally repeating what you hear on the news, you're a fucking idiot. You're just you literally are the least thinker possible. You have to sit down with your children, especially your children, because if you look at the CNN poll, which is interesting, and I hope all the Democrats peel their skin off, but why is it that the Republican children felt like they could play with their counterpart children, but the Democrat children couldn't play with their Trump counterpart children? That's out there. Look it up. So what I'm, and I'm not saying anything in terms of beliefs or values.
Right, absolutely.
But what I'm saying is you have to let your children bring their ideas in because you're old. You're listening to CNN, LMNOP, MSNBC, Fox, whatever the hell you're going to listen to, some bullshit. You can't even think of an independent thought outside of some external thing. That's why I'm pushing y'all and I'm being confrontational. Think at home.
Right.
Think about what you believe in as a person.
Right.
Stop thinking that all of a sudden, what shut the fuck up means to me is stop listening to stupid people. Mm-hmm. Stop listening to, you have to find religion. You have to find spirituality. You have to find purpose. You have to find like, where are we going as a family member, as a family group? And then you need to learn law. How do you learn about trusts? And how do you learn about all these things so that you pass on generational stuff? But they keep you so preoccupied with racism and prejudice and genderism and transgenderism and LGBTQ and men against women, all this bullshit, while you should be talking to your attorney about how you're going to create generational wealth. Where's your trust at? Where's your property going? Who's your trustees? You know, all these things as a family, you should be able to sit down and like, why can't we, you know, they're sitting around talking shit about Kennedy right now about how he should not be anywhere near the damn Health and Human Services. But why did Obama want him to be his EPA guy? Kennedy turned it down. Why did Biden want him to be his APA guy? Mm-hmm. Because he turned it down. So you finally get him to HHS, and then every family member, like, this is so crazy to me. Everybody knows fluoride's bad for you. Yep. But they tell you on the news that, oh my God, this conspiracy, and then or like, why is it that these colors and these weird things, like they're trying to gaslight Americans into believing some bullshit. What's encouraging to me, if anything, is that Americans aren't listening to their stupid bullshit anymore. And that's what discerning truth and developing rebuilding purpose means. How does the family stick strong? And it could be just your immediate family, it could be your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, whoever wants to come to dinner that day and talk about what your values are and what your mission is and what you're going to do and move on it.
So
that's good.
How do you get folks to do that? I mean, people listening to this podcast may be going, what is it? And we don't really have the answer, but it's just, I'm throwing a question out there. What is it going to take for people to, in essence, take control of their own lives and understand what they want as opposed to listening to what politicians tell them what they need?
Well, if you ask me, what I would say is stop buying shit. Stop. Stop buying anything that's not needed, right? We're culturally bound because of how we're advertised. Blacks are advertised in one specific and particular way so that black people buy shit.
Yeah, McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Or shoes or vehicles or whatever, right?
McDonald's. Now, let's talk about McDonald's. And
here we go.
I don't want to dog out the company. They've done a lot of great things. They've made an effort to change some things. But I have to say this. So I was at a football camp with my kids, and a nutritionist came in. And he brought a cheeseburger in and demonstrated how that cheeseburger stays in the body. It does not process for 30 days.
Yeah.
For 30 days. And yet all these families are taking their kids, to McDonald's for breakfast. They may be too busy. They don't want to, you know. And I'm not to dog out McDonald's. There are alternatives. And this kind of goes to your point. People need to find other ways to take care of their kids and stop being lazy.
But the French nutrition, the French fries stay in the stomach even longer.
But what if McDonald's is they're brilliant people.
Right.
I don't think that they want to kill people. I really don't. I don't think that they want to.
No.
What if they were the leadership in fast food health? What if they decided that we're going to double up our prices? If you want a high quality, healthy hamburger with healthy, high quality foods, and you come here as a treat with you and your kids, and we're going to bring back all the fun toys and the glasses and the Happy Meals and the playgrounds and all that shit, but we're going to charge you for some shit. Why not? Or why not advertise? You know, I think that's what interests me the most, because even though America is pushing towards health, McDonald's and all these other fast food places are pushing against it, trying to say, well, we're going to reduce our $10 meal to a $5 meal, and then we're going to give you more shit, more unhealthy shit for cheaper.
Right, because their research shows the consumers want something right now. See, a lot of what's happening, because these companies aren't just arbitrarily doing what they're doing. They have data. They have research that shows that people are busy. People have a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
They're stressed out.
Yeah.
They don't want to go and cook like maybe our parents did for us.
But let's get down. Why is the thing that makes us the healthiest the least valued thing? And so when we're talking about values and you're going to sit down as a family member, let's say that health is something that's valuable to you, then you need to pay for it. You need to find
what your natural grocery. What if you can't afford it, though, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, then you need to be voting. Okay, so, and I know, look, it is convoluted and it's complicated, but in terms of like farm, like Heinz Kraft right now pulled all of their Lunchables out of public schools because it wasn't going to make them no money, plus they had cadmium and all kinds of weird shit in their food. Or Fruit Loops, you had 400,000 signatures of, and I was one of the signatories to stay. Stop putting bullshit in our Fruit Loops. Treat us like you do Canada. Put that shit back. Charge more. I don't understand for a healthy version. Yeah.
So you know it costs more to eat healthy.
Why shouldn't it?
Okay.
Why shouldn't it? You have more labor. You should. And you should pay more. It should be like one of the top five expenses that you – but Americans have been trained to think that it should be the least expensive.
Right.
We're talking $2 gallons of milk. Well, fucker, if I want some healthy-ass milk that's actually real, that comes into my body and actually provides me nutrients, why wouldn't I pay $5? I'll stop buying the Jordans because you better believe that somebody's buying some Jordans and some Nike and some – you know, whatever the brand names are of the day, but you look at millionaires and I, you know, when I went to go visit Kennedy a couple times, he was wearing my dad's same ass Walmart shoes and some Levi's and a button up shirt that he could have gotten from anywhere that he rolled his sleeves up with. And I don't know what his value is, but I'm assuming it's around 20, 30 million.
So
why are the 20-30 millionaires okay?
So understand this.
And I don't want you to get rid of passion, because I can tell you one thing. When we had that convention with the Black Philanthropy this weekend, call it what you want to, but everybody smelled so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Everybody was fly. Everybody was dressed up. Mm-hmm. Everything looked good. But you want to know one thing I didn't notice? Was a brand.
Right.
I wasn't thinking, oh my God, is he wearing...
Right.
Nike or whatever. Right. No, right. Everybody had their hair done up right, had their cologne, their perfume, jewelry, that everybody looked beautiful. Everybody was dressed up. Yeah. Everybody was like passionate about what they were doing there. But nobody was walking around checking pant sizes and brands, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, people need to stop. So if you want to transfer your money and your value, so stop buying some bullshit, because you better fucking believe that everybody has an iPhone 75,000. But they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to spend $6 on some loaf of bread that's actually healthy for me. Okay, give up. Give it up. Stop.
Yeah.
If you, that's your value. Is that what we're talking about with for the family?
Right.
Everybody can look beautiful. Everybody can do what they got to do and get their hair done and do all those things and get their nails done, all that shit.
Right.
But stop buying bullshit.
How are we doing on time, Aaron?
Five minutes.
All right. Okay.
Well, that's good. That's important stuff, and this is important stuff for the family. So we talked about STFU, and you gave both of your reasons for that. And listen, did we talk about the listen part? Because we understand, you know, shut the F up and listen. So sometimes with me, I believe it's taking a step back and just listening to the other person. Because listening skill is a skill that most people don't have.
Okay, but listening is an active behavior of researching. So, like, why did this election go so far? Why was it so far to the right? Or when we're talking about food, we're talking about clothes, we're talking about anything. Get on the – you have the most intelligent – artificial intelligence at the palm of your hand.
Absolutely.
Look it up. And what I mean by listening not only do you want to listen to your fellow human, but you also want to listen to research.
Right.
Listen to, you know, different, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Information. Okay.
All right. We'll probably wrap it up. Jeremy, you're a psychologist. I mean, here's the thing. All of this,
and it sounds good.
And a philosopher. It sounds good. The psychology behind people's behavior, the psychology behind people being stuck on something that they know they shouldn't do. And so maybe we can get into that, because a lot of people want to do eat right.
Yeah.
And yet,
let's break it down.
Yeah, and then we can get into this whole thing with Kennedy and what he wants to do with SNAP, because it makes sense.
Sure.
Yet it's gonna be painful for people who just are accustomed to buying snacks, chips. You understand what
because
I'm saying?
Because it tastes good.
And then, so you're saying, well, so what do we got to do? We got to go to Whole Foods? I can't afford that.
Well, there's ways around it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what
and,
you mean.
And so maybe we can get on that on our next podcast.
And, yeah, and making those choices, those decisions, those healthy choices, instead of just going with the status quo, the comfort foods. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. We will be right back. Make sure you go to the website, which is www.hiddenbattlesdmi.com. Make sure you share this podcast and like it and subscribe. We'll see you in a moment.
Mental illness doesn't only affect the person diagnosed by it, affects everyone. If you have a loved one that has been diagnosed with a mental illness and are facing challenges, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, provides monthly confidential family support groups. And gain support from peers who understand your experience, as well as insight into challenges and successes of others, because it can be overwhelming. For more information, go to www.hiddenbattlesdmi.com or call 400-220-0656. You don't have to do it alone.
We're back. Let's listen in.
A lot of, when we talk about values, you're right, we all human beings basically have the basic fundamental values, okay? But the problem is, it's the way society has set them up in some cases to potentially fail because
it's
of
cheaper,
the social, economic
it's comparison.
Status,
yes, okay? Absolutely.
If they want it, in my opinion, okay, and I'm speaking from my personal experience, back in the day when I was a TV news reporter, I used to cover the crime beat in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Black mayor, we're going to do this for the people, blah, 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 blah. He lives on the other side of the tracks. They all live on the other side of the tracks. Yeah. All the politicians, right?
Yeah.
Crime rate is still, to this day, is one of the highest in the nation. You have a black mayor that's supposed to solve, black city council, okay? The system... If you did what they did in Chicago, in my opinion, they tore down the housing projects. Now, everyone's upset that displaced them. Mm-hmm. I still believe that something needs to happen with corporate America, and they do it in pockets, where people are given an opportunity to go work in certain places and to own their own home, because when you own your own home, you have some pride.
Yeah, just go to the right.
Okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It builds character. It sets a pattern for the next generation. But the way that these communities are now, it's never going to change.
Well, I wouldn't say that. What we have to be able to understand there are certain resiliency things that we can do as community activists to bring those
like
things
what?
In. So, art, music.
That doesn't make money.
Yeah, it doesn't. But
it makes
you feel good.
Gives you a sense of pride.
No, those people that were on that panel, if they're doing what they say that they're doing.
Okay. That is true.
Part of our problem is that we have exponential growth.
Right.
So the more unhealthy people we have, the more unhealthy their children are, and they have more unhealthy children who then have more unhealthy children. So we're
and
trying to fight exponential growth. That's our core problem. But in terms of like, how do we actually save a particular community? It's that we have to, men are the cornerstone of a healthy family. Sure, we can have all kinds of different types of families, but in terms of the family that is married to a woman who then they have children. I know what you're saying. I know there's defeatism in there, but if we really truly invested in men and talked to girls and saying pregnancy isn't bad, public schools, churches,
the schools, family members. It's. I mean, look. I mean, I'm just. It's a broken system. It's broken to the core, because I've walked into public school classrooms in a freaking algebra class.
Let me ask you this question.
Trying to learn algebra.
That concludes Hidden Battles Destigmatizing Mental Illness podcast. Join in every week. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share. Listen weekly on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and subscribe, like, and please share with family and friends that can benefit. See you on the journey.